That song is quite fitting of the message this morning. I brought with me this morning, and as I studied the message and was preparing for today, I had my outline put together, and I don't know if it is this way with you guys, but especially in my spiritual life, when it's just I'm not quite thinking how God wants me to think. When I'm not quite thinking along the lines of what God is thinking, He just doesn't give me peace. He just doesn't give me peace. And as I was studying and I was studying, I just was having a hard time coming up with my introduction to my message here this morning, to be honest with you. And then here the other day I was sitting down, and I don't know about you guys, but I have multiple Bibles. My wife finds them laying all over the house sometimes, and then I have a stack on my nightstand because, you know what, certain Bibles, I have my thumb memorizes certain places in certain Bibles, right? And we just got done with the evangelistic meetings here with Dr. Sorensen, and he brought up a topic, and that topic came to my mind, and so I brought two swords with me this morning, all right? So I'm going to give it to you guys twice here this morning, all right? No. But he had mentioned about a soul winner's New Testament. And about having something that was pocket-sized. Now, they make them much smaller than this, but my eyes cannot see them when they get that small. But this one works just great for me. And just as an encouragement, if you don't have something like this, I encourage you to get this. Because, you know, in the back of my Soul Winner's New Testament, and there's a story behind this Soul Winner's New Testament I'll get into. And Pastor Sorensen there made me think about it. But in the back of this, the reason that this was given to me is because it has all the Romans Road laid out right in the back. I don't have to flip around back and forth. It has the plan of salvation right there. I can look at the verse, and then I can go back into the Bible here and look. But my story here behind this Bible was, as a dear friend of mine by the name of Brian Booth, when I was in college, we went up to Winnipeg. They were doing special services for a church up there, and so we went up there several days in a row. They bust us up there kind of thing from the college. Anybody that wanted to go. So we had quite a few people that went up there. Well, I got paired with Brother Brian Booth. Now, if you don't know who this man was, at the time he was the president of Canamara Baptist Missions. And so they were the agency that missionaries would go through to be sent onto the mission field. This guy had been a missionary. I mean, when I was in college, he was a man that I really looked up to because, I mean, he knew it all kind of thing, all right? And so I got paired up with him to go soul winning one day. Now, I'm nervous, all right? I'm more nervous than I am right now, all right? No, but I was nervous because, man, this guy, I mean, he's going to think I'm an idiot kind of thing when I start trying to share the gospel. And so we went to knock on several doors that day, and we got a lot of unreceptive people, you know. Hey, I'm just out here to share this, give this to you, invite you out to church. You know, if you die today, would you know you where you'd spend eternity? Door shut, door shut, door shut. Some people would just want to sit and talk. And I watched that man do that over and over and over again. And I thought to myself while we were walking along that, man, it really doesn't matter on the person. It really doesn't matter on the person. And so we're going along, and Brother Booth looked at me and said, "It's your turn." Oh, boy, here we go. I walk up, and I knock on that door. First door I knocked on that day, and a young man comes to the door, and I could see through the door. His friends are sitting on the couch back there. And I said, "Hey, I'm Vernon Atkinson. I'm just out here handing out these flyers, you know, inviting you out to church. And if I could ask you a question, if you were to die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity?" And you know what he did? He gave me the answer that I never would have expected. "No, I don't. Where would I spend eternity?" And you know what I did? I did like every good Bible college student probably would have done. I went, "I can't believe somebody actually said that," you know, kind of thing. And good old Brian, Brother Booth, standing there, I felt his hand come on my shoulder, and he started talking. That guy was smart, because I just sat there. My brain was huh? You know, kind of thing. It happens to everybody, all right? But you know what? I got flustered. I got caught up. I didn't have one of these at the time. I was carrying my big old Bible around with me, and I had to fumble through and find the pages and stuff like that. This was a gift from that guy. The next couple of days, I don't know if it was the next day or the day after, but we had mailboxes at the college. All they were was pigeonholes. That was where we received our mail. And I had this stuck in one of those boxes. And I pulled that out, and I went, what in the world? Somebody got their Bible, put their Bible, because a lot of times after church, we'd go put our Bibles in our mailboxes. That way we didn't have to run them back to the dorm. And I looked at that, and I said, oh, somebody put their Bible in the wrong mailbox kind of thing. And it stayed in there. Brother Booth finally saw me. He goes, I left something in your mailbox. I said, the Bible? Yeah. He goes, look in the back of it. He goes, it'll help you. You know what? I appreciate that man's help. And so when Pastor Sorensen was here, he gave us that handout. And if you didn't get one, there's a bunch of them here on the front. I invite you to grab one afterwards. Of the things to say when you're soul winning. Because you know what? Sometimes we get caught off guard. But this morning, as I was studying for my message, I was going to preach a message of how to grow in Christ. How to grow in Christ. And then I suppose all the things that my mind was running through, they finally hit me. As I opened up this little New Testament and I was scrolling through it, I looked in the back of it here, and I realized something. Something I've realized many times before is that before you can grow in Christ, you have to be born again. You have to be born again. And so before I get into the meat and potatoes of the message today, if you haven't taken out your Bible and underlined the Romans Road and things like that in your Bible, I encourage you to just flip with me in your Bible. We'll see how fast you can page through your Bible, because I'm going to go through this pretty quick. So get your Bibles out. Get them ready. Get your pencils ready, because you're going to want to write things in the margin here. But really, I'm only going to go through about 10 verses here this morning that you should have in your heart, that your thumb should have memorized, all right? That if you don't have memorized in your head, that your thumb, I know you guys know what I'm talking about, that your thumb has memorized, because I can't remember where that's at, but it's right there. You right? So what must we first do? You must first accept that you're a sinner, correct? We see that in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it says. So you start off in Romans 3:23. And then next to Romans 3:23, I would write in my Bible, and if you look in this one here, I have it written right next to it, Romans 3:10. We don't have to go very far. We don't have to flip the page. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That sums up a lot of things. When it says, no, not one, that means there isn't. It doesn't exist. No one is perfect. No one has lived up to God's standards. Second, you must accept that as a sinner, you owe a penalty. We use the simple illustration of, have you ever got a speeding ticket? Now, I have asked that question before, and I've had somebody raise their hand, I've never got a speeding ticket. Come to find out, they never had a driver's license. That's cheating, all right? But have you ever got a speeding ticket? If you get a ticket of some sort, or break the law of some sort, there is a penalty to pay. Well, we have all broken God's perfect law. We are not perfect. We see this in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Death. The death is described in the Bible as the second death, the lake of fire. Revelations 20, verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. If we pay what we owe as sinners, we must spend eternity in a lake of fire. Now, if you read through the Bible, you'll understand that that place was not designed for you. It wasn't made for you. It was made for the devil and his fallen angels. You're not supposed to go there. And I find this interesting because this next point, the third point here we come to find, is third, you must accept that Jesus Christ has already paid your sin debt. He's already done it. Now, I've talked to people that I love very much. And you know one of the greatest excuses I get is, well, God would never accept me. God would never accept me for the things that I've done. I can't get saved. Things like that. I hear them all the time when I talk about salvation to people. Do you realize it's already been done? It's already been done. It's already been taken care of. He's already accepted your sin. Your sin was placed on him on the cross. It's already been paid for. You know, you kind of feel silly if you tried to pay for your groceries twice, wouldn't you? Right? As a matter of fact, you kind of get upset. I witnessed this the other day. I won't tell you what store I was in, but they were having card problems, I believe, and the lady had thought that the man had charged him twice, and she was quite insistent on double-checking, triple-checking, and quadruple-checking that she had not got charged twice, because I don't want to pay for this stuff twice. Now, can we understand that? I wouldn't want to pay for it twice either. So why would you want to pay for your sin debt again? It's already been paid for. It's already been taken care of. It's already handled. So third, you must accept that Jesus Christ has already paid our sin debt. Romans 5, 6, write that down. So right next to Revelation 20:14, I write Romans 5, 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Hebrews 2, 9, the second half of the verse here says, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. It was paid already. Christ was not a sinner. The Bible teaches that God took all of our sin and placed it on Christ. While Christ was bearing all of our sin in his own body, he was punished for our sin and paid the debt we owe. This is not something God promised that he'll do. This is something that Christ has already done for you. John 3:16 says, and this is probably the most quoted, and you know what? I love the people that put it on bumper stickers and things like that, but I wish they really, really, truly understood what that verse means. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And one of the best things you could do is take out the world and put your name in there. For God so loved me, you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. No conditions, no strings attached. Everlasting life. So next to John 3:16, write in 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You are made new. Clean. It is a fact. Jesus Christ has already paid for your sin debt. You know what? I've seen people, when you explain that to them, they get mad. Well, I didn't ask him to. No, but if you understood your condition, you would sure ask. Number four, you must accept by faith that Jesus Christ, you must accept by faith what Jesus Christ did for you. Interesting fact, if you find facts fun, this is a fact. 90 times in the Gospel of John, the Bible says believe. 90 times. It seems to be a pretty common word in the Gospel of John, isn't it? Believe. So what are we supposed to believe? John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. This verse divides the world into two separate things, those who believe and those that don't. The word believe means to trust, to depend on, to rely on. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ means that you accept the fact that you are a sinner and that as a sinner you owe a sin penalty and that Christ died on the cross to pay that debt that you owe. But it also means one more thing. It means that if you will completely trust in Christ to get to heaven, that you will put the matter of your salvation in the hands of and depend on him for everlasting life, that you can be saved. All that, right there, in just a few little pages in the back of my Bible. Now, if there's somebody that's not saved here this morning, I encourage you to get saved. The facts are the facts. It says it in God's Word. And then I encourage you, everyone, go get you a Soul Winner's New Testament. You say, well, I don't know where to find one. Easy. Everyone in here has a phone, right? Does anybody in here not know what Amazon is? All right. I don't mean to make light of the situation, but they're out there. You can find them. If you want one like this, you can ask me. I'll show you what the type and brand and everything else is. I believe Pastor has some, all right? I'm not going to quote him on that. When he gets back, he's going to get bombarded for them. I hope he does. Because you know what? At one time, I had one of these in every vehicle I had. I still have one in my desk at work. I always wanted to have one that wasn't necessarily in my pocket kind of thing, but I'll be right back. I can go get it real quick. That day we were thinking about that. I believe that I have one in my car outside. If I don't, I soon will. All right? It should be something that's near and dear to your heart because, you know, each and every one of us that is saved should be seeking to lead others to Christ. So if you take your Bible with me this morning, step one is get born. The steps of a Christian is the title for the message this morning. Step one, get born. All that was just introduction, all right? Step one, get born. So what are you after you are born? Step two, be a baby. Be a baby, I have written here. You know, I've had my kids over the years, and you know, one thing is, they trust mom and dad. They trust mom and dad. You know, one of the things I was teaching Buddy here the other day, and I'm not picking on him, but little Alice, she loves the slide at the house. We put up a swing set in our backyard, and she loves the slide. I think if you let her, she'd sleep out there kind of thing. She just loves to go down the slide. But one of the things that she loves even more is to say, catch me. Catch me. She wants to be caught at the bottom of the slide. She can slide down the slide by herself, but it's just the fun fact that somebody at the end will pick me up and grab me, and it just makes it even more fun. But you know what happens sometimes with kids? One kid will say to the other, catch me, and down the slide, and they go down the slide fast, because if Alice goes down the slide with nobody around, she kind of hangs her arm over the edge and just kind of real slow goes down the slide. That's how she catches herself at the end. But if dad or mom's there to catch her, down the slide, man, she's coming. And so if somebody at the bottom of the slide says, all right, I'll catch you, and there's crying and there's tears, you didn't catch me. Trust has been broken, hasn't it? As a baby, as a newborn Christian, you can trust in God. God will always be at the bottom of the slide. All right? I know that's simple, but it's true. Because God will always be there to catch you. Do babies make mistakes? Alice is small enough. I'll use her as illustrations this morning, I guess. You might hate me for this one day. Or, Dad, why did you say all them things? No. But, you know, kids have this thing that when they discover the nose, all right, some of you are looking at me going, I know where this is going. Certain things go up the nose, right? All right? And the fact is, you know, kids make mistakes, and then they come crying to Mom and Dad, and they're pointing, because they don't know how to get it back out kind of thing, right? Or they come up to you, and they got a sliver in their hand or an owie. And Dad, and I think dads in general are terrible at this. When they come up for an owie, it's like, where? Right there. It looks perfectly fine, but there's an owie there, and it needs a Band-Aid. No, it doesn't. Where's Mom? Right? And all of a sudden, there's a two-year-old running around with a Band-Aid. No wonder why I have to get a new box of Band-Aids every, no, I'm joking. But you know what? They have a trust that you're going to be able to fix their problem. Go with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter 2. A newborn relies on its parents. Newborn, like the simple. And I have written here in quotations, no steak, please. No steak, please. That would be something that would be terrible to do, is to feed steak to a newborn, wouldn't it? I mean, sometimes I see the parents, and I was one of these parents, when you have the mashed potatoes, you kind of get some of that gravy on your finger and inside. Ooh, they like that, right? But that's something soft and easy to eat. But you know what? You'd be a fool to feed a steak to an infant, wouldn't you? Does it taste good? Is it good for the body? Yeah. Especially if Mr. Melhoff cooks them. Yeah. But you know what? They're not quite ready for it, are they? They soon will be, but they're not quite ready for it. Here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. They have to have that milk in order to grow. They have to have the easy things in order to be able to handle the harder things later on. You know, let's wait until you get some teeth. You know, let's wait until you're able to handle the things that are presented before you. And so here we see that the Bible, when we dig into it as new Christians, many oftentimes we hear that, man, the Bible is just hard. I don't understand it. And many times I'll tell the person that tells me that is, you know what? Pick a different spot and start reading. Huh? You probably don't want to be reading in Numbers. All right? I'm not picking on the Bible. Don't get me wrong this morning. But you know what? I still get tongue twisted on Numbers. Many, many pastors, all the so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so, so-and-so, and all those good names in there, do they mean something? Yeah, they do. You can follow the lineage of Christ through that and see many awesome things that happened in the Bible. But as a newborn Christian, those things are, you don't quite understand them yet. The Bible is written on a fifth grade, on an average, like I say, there's books in the Bible that are harder to read, but on an average, it is written on a fifth grade reading level. So that means even I can read it. All right? Fifth grade reading level. And then we see here, if you go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Where does time go? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and division? Are ye not carnal and walk as men?" We see here Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and he's kind of given them a little bit of a rebuke here, is what he's given to them. He said, "I'm having to feed you with milk when you should be eating steak," kind of thing, is what this is here. I gave you that verse here this morning so that you realize that, hey, you know what? I see people that still want to be kids. Now, I say that in a worldly sense. I see adults that, man, I thought you were supposed to be growing up by that age, kind of thing. You know what I mean? I'm not picking on people, but it happens. And here Paul's saying, hey, you're acting like newborn babies. You know, one thing about newborn babies is they don't like to share their toys, do they? Just this morning here, before everybody else was here, you know, Alice, she got toys out of the nursery back there, and somebody took them from her, and she was not happy. "Give them back!" But here we see that adults doing that. Verse 3, "For ye are yet carnal." Would you want to be called carnal? That hurt. "For you are carnal. There's envying and strife and division. And you walk as all the rest of the people." Step 2, be a baby. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. I have written beside it here in my notes. Grow up. Don't remain a baby. Well, what comes next? Well, be a child. And next to that, I said, trust in God. Because it's a theme of this morning. Trust in God. Because you know what? God will lead you through each and every one of these. Trust in God. We see that in Matthew 18:3. It says, take time to learn here. I'm going to skip through some verses here real quick because I am running out of time this morning. But if you would go with and take your Bible to 2 Timothy 2:15. I don't have to flip there because it's one of the verses that I love and I have it memorized. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing," what? "The word of truth." Study. You know, it's awful hard, and I'm not going to say it's not possible, because it is now. But there was a time when if you were going to study, what did you have to do? You had to read, right? Now we have this thing called audiobooks and things like that. I love them, all right? I do a lot of work with my hands and things like that, and I'm busy all the time, but usually I'm by myself a lot. And so the guys at work, they kind of look at me funny. I walk around with my one earbud in, and they're talking to me. I'm going, "Oh, what?" kind of thing, because I got a book playing in my ear, all right, or something going on. They can get my attention kind of thing, but only when they need it. No. But if you're going to study, you're going to have to apply yourself to reading. Study doesn't come naturally. And study is not easy. That word study means to apply yourself to learn. You have to want it. You have to want to get in there and get it. Because, you know, how does a child know what is good and bad? My kids and the black spots on bananas, it makes me laugh. If I peel a banana and it has a black spot on it, man, you can just about see teeth marks all the way around that thing. "Dad, that's the bad spot. It ain't going to hurt you. Just go ahead and eat it," kind of thing, you know. It's not like it's rotten. It's just good for making banana bread. Amen. But you know what? That one little spot isn't going to hurt you, kind of thing. Or the little spot on the apple, I have to cut them things out because that's bad. How do they know that's bad? Well, because they heard mom and dad say that it was. You know, those are bruises. A bruise? Well, a bruise is something that, ouch. So the banana has an ouchie. All right? I've heard that one. All right? The kids, they learn from us what is good and bad. So how do you learn what is good and bad spiritually? Well, I don't know. I just do. That's a bad plan. Bad plan. How do you learn what is good spiritually? How do you learn what is bad spiritually? The Bible. The Bible tells us that. And if I get to the end here, I want to show you some of them good and bad things. But you find God's will in God's Word. That took me a long time to figure that out. I feel pretty stupid for it. But growing up, everybody asked me, what is God's will in your life? I'm here. That's what God's will is. I'm here. What is God's will in your life? Well, why don't you get into God's Word and find out? Step four, be an adult. And guess what? Still trust in God. Because guess what? He's still at the bottom of the slide to catch you. All right? This is a funny one to just, adults and going down slides. Funny things happen there, all right? That's all I'm going to put in there. Funny things happen. That's maybe something you're going to have to YouTube later, all right? I'm going to leave it there. But you know what? God is still there to catch you. Go with me to 1 Corinthians, if you're still there. If not, turn to 1 Corinthians 13. I know there are some kids in here that probably have this verse memorized. I've heard it quoted a few times from Master Club, but I said the reference, and one of the problems that we all have is we hear the reference and we don't quite put the verse and the reference together. I still have that problem, all right? Yeah. But 1 Corinthians 13, guess what? Verse 11 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. Is there anything wrong with that? Not at all. You know, I expect my kids to be kids. Both in their little bodies and in their spiritual sense. All right? I expect a kid to be a kid. But it says here, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. There comes to be a point in our spiritual life when we have to put those childish things away. And we have to say to myself and to God that, hey, I want to understand your word. I don't want to have to rely on everybody else. Is it good to get help every now and then? I like help. I put a good word in for Pastor here. I do some automotive work now and then. I am by no means a mechanic, okay? I like fixing things, all right? And so sometimes people ask me to do automotive work or work will ask me, hey, can you fix this? Sure, I could take a shot at it, no problem. And I get into it and I fix it kind of thing and it's still not right. I fix the problem. In my mind, one and one equals two, right? But sometimes I fix things and it just doesn't fix the problem. So guess who I call? I call Pastor. Hey, Dad, you busy? I have a vehicle and it's doing this. And you know what he does? Figure it out on your own. No, he doesn't do that. He'll tell me, hey, why don't you look at this, and this, and this, and this, kind of thing. He gives me options. And you know what? Sometimes I go through option 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and guess what? It's still not right. And so then I'll call up either Pastor again, or I'll call up another person and say, hey, or I'll call up the, you know, actual mechanics kind of thing and say, hey, I got a few buddies that are mechanics and are really good mechanics, and I say, hey, I got myself into a problem. Can you help me? Yeah, what do you got? And they help me. I'm an adult. I'm supposed to have all these things figured out, right? Even we as an adult need help. So in 1 Corinthians 13:11 here, we see the maturity. We have to choose to grow up. We have to choose to grow up. Many choose not to. Many choose not to. Go with me to 2 Timothy here, and I'll bring it to a close here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We have a bad habit of doing what we want to do, not caring about the cost or the outcome. All we do is care about what it'll get us, how it will fix our problem or meet our need, or this is what I like to have. We see that here in 2 Timothy 3:1-7. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Watch out for that. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Ever learning. Ever getting smarter. We'll figure it out. That's what the world wants to do right now. I mean, if you watch any kind of news, I have to say, honestly, I'm one unplugged individual. I keep up with the news just enough to know what's going on, but, you know, I watch the documentaries with the kids and stuff like that, try to get some education about the world of nature and things like that into them, and one of the things that was kept popping up was the global warming issue. And now we have the going green and things like that. What are we trying to do? We're trying to fix the world, aren't we? We're trying to fix the world in our own power, in our own mind. Ever learning and never, ever able to come to the knowledge of truth. Because we don't want to accept God's plan. You know, I'm not a person that's interested in destroying the world kind of thing. But you know what? There's a better one to come. Should we take care of the one we have? By all means. But you know what? One day this one is going to burn with fervent heat, melt away. Gone. It doesn't matter what you do to it. You're not going to save it. There's more important things. So, denying God, doing what we want, not caring the cost or the outcome, we have to choose to grow up. Going back to that of God's will here, and I close with this here. Go to 2 Peter. I promise I'm wrapping things up here. And I guess I put this in here because of the younger people in here today and even the older people. Nobody missed this. Because I had mentioned earlier about struggling with the will of God in your life. You know what? God wants you to be born again. Step one, become a child of God, born again. You know what? He wants you to be a kid, a child. He wants you to grow and learn, but then he wants you to grow up and be an adult, be a man, be a woman for God. Be somebody that's willing to serve. Second Peter, we're going to read a little bit of a length here, 1 through 10. Simon Peter, a servant of the apostle of Jesus Christ, precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Multiply your knowledge through God. Some of the smartest people I've ever met acknowledge that there is a God. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are we given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises. You say, well, what are those promises? Study your Bible. I'll throw that one out there. They're all throughout the Bible. I covered a lot of promises this morning. First promise that we covered, that if you'll receive God, he'll save you. One of the biggest second promises that you can have is that he's coming again. Promises all throughout the Bible. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And focus on these verses here. Because if you haven't, you should study through them and add these to your life. And besides this, give all diligence. Underline this word. Add. Add. This is something you're supposed to take and take it with you. Get this. Add it. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, that means they're abundant, a lot of it, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say all of that because if you figure these things out and if you add these things to your life, when you knock on that person's door one day and you ask them that simple question, do you know to where you're going when you die? You won't be like me and sit there and go, all right? It's honestly what I did. I feel silly about it to this day. It felt like 30 minutes went by. I mean, that poor man was standing there in the door going, kind of making, after first, 10 seconds of silence, they kind of get nervous, did I say something wrong kind of thing? No. I'm glad I had somebody to step in and help me. Always have that help. But understand, the man that I was soul winning with that day had added these things to his life. He had studied the Word of God. When you find things like these lists in the Bible, add these things to your life. Search out the promises of Scripture. Because in verse 9 here, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Why aren't you going to fall? Because you're walking right with God, right with Christ, right where you should be. When we separate ourselves and we say, hey, this is what I want to do, we take that step away from God. And you know what? When we say that step away from God, we get off the path. Now, when I go hiking, I like to get off the path. But you know, one thing I realize is that the path is a lot easier to walk on. Is there a venture awaits you off the path? Yeah, but you're going to trip and fall. You might even get hurt. Many people have died because they got off the path. Don't go there spiritually. Stay close to God. Let's close in a hymn number 125. Go ahead and stand with me if you would. Hymn number 125.